Fourscore and 7 years ago. That takes us to where? Where does that take us? Gettysburg, right? I mean, just that phrase alone transports us from this moment to an epic moment, a dramatic moment in our history, to the cataclysmic battle, to the fate of nation, to the president who was dedicating the cemetery for the fallen. Just that phrase, 47 years ago, has a power to transport. And for those of us from America, it is immediately identifiable. To others, not so. But to us, who have been born and raised in this country, or have come in later years and become familiar with our particular history, that's a defining epic event, and the phrase alone takes us there. Well, so too is it with the phrase Lamb of God. It's exactly how John the Baptist identifies Jesus. Look, the Lamb of God. And for the hearers of that phrase, of that title, for the people of God in the time of our Lord, and certainly for the early church, there is an immediate transport to the epic event of God's deliverance, of God's people from Egypt. The lamb back in the book of Exodus that was slaughtered, whose blood was smeared on the door for the protection and the deliverance of the firstborn. An immediate identification that by simply saying that there is the Lamb of God, the hearers of that in the time of our Lord would have immediately been transported to the event of the Passover, to the event of sacrifice leading to deliverance and God's mercy being experienced. Lamb of God. The prophet Isaiah will take that same phrase in his 53rd chapter, and he will talk about the Messiah, God's chosen one, God's anointed one, being the Lamb of God, a lamb led to sacrifice. Also familiar to the hearers of the word in the time of Jesus, helping to appreciate that this title given to Jesus is very instructive, it's very descriptive, that this indeed is the great moment in which the promise of God's deliverance for all of God's people from the tyranny and the ravages of sin, that this moment is upon us in the person of Jesus Christ, who is God's Lamb. And John the Evangelist continues, who takes away the sin of the world. All sin. All of my sin, original and personal, eviscerated by the sacrifice of God's chosen one, by God's Lamb, whose own self-outpouring makes right what I can never make right on my own. That's a lot in just a little phrase, Lamb of God, isn't it? And if that weren't enough, in the book of Revelation, the Lamb is going to appear again, and immediately you have a familiarity with that. You're the 11 o'clock community of faith. At 8:30, I got to go real slow and I have to talk soft. But not at 11 o'clock, because you know it's the Lamb who was slain, who is victorious, that is proclaimed in the book of Revelation. An exclamation point, if you will, on the fulfillment of God's word in the person of Jesus Christ, who is God's Lamb, poured out for us and for our salvation, that deliverance from all that prevents us from the best version of ourselves, from the fullness of life for which we've been made, has been accomplished. If you're in a tough stretch right now, and the pressures or the anxieties or the confusion or the resentment is particularly intense, my brothers and sisters, it doesn't need to remain so, for God's Lamb, who has been slain, is victorious. That's over everything that's getting in the way of my best version. from being experienced and shared. Jesus is the Lamb of God. And in our prayer, the church in her love for us makes sure that we are acutely aware of the profundity of that. Right before we encounter no less than the living God, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Holy Eucharist, what do we exclaim? Lamb of God, right? Who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy, have mercy. Acknowledging God's great deliverance of us, his people, from all that keeps us from the fullness of life for which we have been made. Jesus is God's Lamb who takes away the sin of the world, and his mercy most definitely is upon us. Let's stand together.